Well, welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. Your host, Chris Hanholtz, joining you on this October 26, 2020. Yeah, it's just me. No Rich tonight. Sorry, guys. The reason for that is we had not actually intended to record a program tonight. We were looking at potentially just doing a rerun because I literally got back at midnight as of today. I walked into my house as we rolled into this particular day at midnight, where our flight landed almost around 10:30, 11 o'clock last night in Reno, and had about an hour to get home. So I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, and we had errands and stuff to run today. So we didn't think this was actually going to happen. And the only reason that this is happening right now is that I was able to spend some time talking with some folks at the Cruciform Conference in Indianapolis, Indiana. And so that's what this show is going to be about tonight. So just to kind of give you a quick rundown on what happened, Cruciform Ministries put on a great conference in Indianapolis this last weekend called the Cruciform Conference. And they had a massive number of speakers over a three-day period. And it was all on the topic of holiness. They actually had a pre-conference on Thursday night, which dealt with the sanctity of life, abortion, and had some wonderful messages on that. Additionally, during the conference, you had just, like I said, a huge number of speakers talking about issues from holiness in God's word, holiness in our personal lives, that we serve a holy God. All of this was just fantastic material that was covered. And I really would encourage you, when Cruciform Conference comes up next year, which right now is tentatively scheduled for the first weekend in June, if you can get to Indianapolis, I really encourage you to go. I'll put the link for Cruciform Ministries in the show notes. I'll also put their Facebook and YouTube channel on there. I'd like you to go check them out. I think they're a fantastic ministry. Brandon Scalf, who runs the ministry, was just a great guy and just really generous with his time, really worked hard to put together a conference that really would minister to a lot of people. But it was solid. It was biblical. It was doctrinal. And it was straight up on fire. You had people like our good friend Andrew Rappaport, Justin Peters, Chris Huff from over at Matter of Theology. You had Michelle Leslie, who we've had on the show before from A Word Fitly Spoken and Michelle's own women's ministry. You had gentlemen that I've never had the privilege of meeting, but absolutely fantastic in the presentations that they put together. So I really think you guys will be blessed by going and viewing and listening to those programs as they're becoming more and more available. The reason for that that I say more and more available is that right now they're kind of all on their Facebook page, but they're transitioning them to the YouTube page. So that's why I'm going to give you all the links in the show notes. But there was not a person there that wasn't committed to speaking the truth of God's word, that kind of looked at this haphazardly. Every single one of them treated this as if the message they were giving was a message being given to their congregation, to people in their own church, and they spent time and energy on this. This wasn't, let me see what I can come up with in the next week, or over the weekend, or the days before the conference. They went to the Word of God. They studied it. They exposited it. They brought heat. They brought the word and just brought it powerfully. And it's such an amazing thing to watch men of God who love the word, who love to preach the word and exhort the people of God to just take that time and call us all to that level of holiness that we ought to be showing the world, that we are conforming ourselves to the image of Christ, that we're not compromising with the world system, that we are absolutely desirous of living lives committed to the Lord. And that was what the conference did. And you noticed I said men of God, but I also had I mentioned Michelle Leslie. Michelle was there as someone who had a breakout session for the ladies. So she wasn't teaching men. You know, only the ladies went in there. She's committed to that. That's how committed she is in her ministry. She, if the guy, if we tried to walk in there, she would have stopped talking. I'm being serious. She's not going to teach men because she believes what the Word of God says. And so every breakout session, every main speaker just absolutely sold out on this topic and really did a great job. In addition to that, we had a live podcast sessions that were done. Of course, Michelle was there. Unfortunately, Amy Spreeman, who's the other half of Word Fitly Spoken, could not be there, so they brought her in via Zoom. And so the ladies got to have the experience of being a part of a Q&A for a Word Fitly Spoken's podcast done live there at the at this conference. And I'm telling you, they did a great job. You know, it, ladies, we've said it on the show before. Go check out this podcast. Go to a Word Fitly Spoken and spend some time listening to Michelle and Amy. Those ladies love the Word of God, and they are going to do everything they can to impart that to you and call you to submit to sound biblical teaching in your church. So I really encourage you to spend time listening to that podcast. You're going to grow. You're going to learn. Also, the guys at Matter of Theology, Chris Huff and Drew Vanita, Nita? Drew, I hope I didn't mess that up. I just did. I'm sure of it. But they did a live podcast with Andrew, and they were talking about holiness in pastoral ministry. And that was a fantastic one. In fact, they've recorded that podcast, and I think they did another podcast during some of the sessions where they talked with Justin Peters. So you're actually going to see in total out of this conference, the guys at Matter of Theology have, I think, now three podcast episodes that they're going to have. One is available right now, which is kind of their recording on the road, often off their iPhone as they're driving back from the conference, doing their mental download of everything that they just experienced at the conference. And I highly encourage you, I'll put that in the show notes as well. I highly encourage you to go listen to that. But the I got to be present for. Okay, let's just put it this way. I got to be present for and got to be the subject of embarrassment, thanks to Andrew again, at the beginning of this of that particular live podcast recording. Because I, as I'm sure if you follow anything we do on social media, they had shared the link that they were going to do. I think I reshared that link of the live podcast, and that's when Andrew pulls out a package from Amazon and gives it to me, and it's a Captain America shirt. So, on camera, live in front of a whole bunch of you, I basically got cajoled into wearing this shirt. So, I got to be put on the shirt. Everybody got a good laugh, and then they went and had a serious conversation, and I had to go sit down. So, thanks, Andrew. Really appreciate that. So, okay, all kidding aside, it was. The fact that we got to be there was actually on Andrew. That was his doing. He put my wife and I on a plane because he was going to be speaking there and he wanted us to be part of that and experience that. So that was Andrew's doing that we were even there. So I give him a lot of grief, but I am grateful for Andrew and all that he does because he's a very generous person and he didn't have to make that possible. He could have just gone and taught. And we could have watched like everybody else from live stream from three time zones away. Let me tell you something, a three time zone shift is brutal. Okay, I'm on West Coast time. I had to go to East Coast time. Indianapolis, Indiana, apparently is East Coast. I didn't know this. Your brain, when you arrive at 11:30 at night, is trying to tell you it's 8:30 at night. It takes a little adjustment. And by the time I started getting adjusted to it, I had to get on planes and come back here. So I have no idea really what time it is. My watch is telling me it's 5:30 in the evening. I'm really not sure if that's accurate according to the rest of my body. It's completely out of whack. But that being said, it was fantastic. And it's one of these things about these smaller conferences. We all think about the big ones. We talk about Shepherd's Conference, Truth Matters Conference, G3, all these really big conferences, Ligonier. They're great conferences, wonderful speaking, and everybody that can get to one, I think you'd be blessed to go to one. Go do it if you get the chance. But if you have a chance to go to a smaller conference like this, where you get to see pastors and laypersons and elders from various churches that normally you wouldn't get to listen to preach, maybe you hadn't met them before. I'm telling you, these men are just as powerfully equipped to preach the word of God as John MacArthur, as R.C. Sproul was, as people like Stephen Lawson. They're just as equipped because God isn't a respecter of persons. God equips whom he will equip. And these men brought the word to bear. And so if you can do something like going to the Cruciform Conference, I would highly encourage you to go. You're going to get blessed. Now, here's where my caveat is when it comes to conferences. I love conferences. I've only been to a few, but I love them. And you get this great fellowship with people that you rarely ever get to see face to face because we're so spread out around this country. You get to listen to preachers that you have normally not had the opportunity to see face to face. You get to sit under great teaching. And so you just get this great experience for several days. And then you got to come home. See, the conference thing, there can be a bad side to that, a couple of bad sides. And here's my caveat. When you go to a conference, there can be the inevitable conference letdown. You come back and it's like, oh, I have to go back to normal life again. Or you have this great mountaintop experience, and it's like, well, going to church on a Sunday just doesn't seem to have that same pizzazz. Don't ever let the conference experience dictate your daily experience as a Christian in this life. Your pastor labors over the word that he preaches to you every week as strongly as the men who preach at that conference. And he's doing that for an even greater purpose because every week he's ministering to you. He's preparing that for you. He wants you to grow. He wants you to develop and walk in holiness, walk conformed to the image of Christ. That's what he wants for you. So conferences are great, but never let it supplant the beauty of that local church that you have and the daily walk that you have in Christ. So I want to put that caveat out there because I think sometimes I even experienced this. We were getting ready to get on the plane on Sunday. It's like, I have to go home now. I mean, first off, I'm going back to work tomorrow. That's part of the reason. Vacation's almost over. I'm literally looking at just like hours away and vacation is over. But then on top of that beautiful experience of that just days of fellowship, that ends. And so you can experience that. Don't let that happen. You know, recognize the gift that it is, and it's a gift to be enjoyed for that time, and the things that you learn will be taken with you, but then be grateful for that godly ministry that you are sitting under, because that's so very necessary. So that said, this program has, this is about as much as you're going to get out of me. I'll wrap things up at the end. But really what this is I've got four interviews for you that I'm going to play back to back. I'm not going to interrupt them. I'm just going to let them play. And what these are is I've spoken to four people, Brandon Scalf, who is not only preached, but also organized and put together this conference. He's the first one you're going to get to hear from. And you're going to get a little bit of information on him and a little bit of why he thought this conference was important. And then for the next three, in fact, really all of them, I ask kind of the same question. We live in a very chaotic time. We live in a time when there seems to be just so much distraction, so much coming against the church, so much going on in our culture. Why holiness? Why a conference on holiness? And so I spoke to Brandon, I spoke to Andrew Rappaport, I spoke to Chris Huff, and I spoke to Michelle Leslie. And I want you to listen to their answers because I think we can sometimes really get wrapped around the axle when we're looking at the issues going on around us. I mean, we've got an election coming up. You know, this we always say every year. Or not every year, every election. This is the most important election of our lifetime. This is almost actually fits that bill for once, because we really do see massive differences in the candidates and where they want to take this country. So isn't that the most important thing right now? Why would we worry about holiness? I mean, yeah, Christians are supposed to be holy. Listen to their answers, because I think it really points us to where we need to be when it comes to this issue. So really listen to those answers, because I think that's extremely important. And then once that's done, I'll wrap things up and let you guys kind of think about this and think about what that means to you as a Christian and why holiness is important in your life. So sit back, enjoy these interviews, and I'll catch you at the end of this. Okay, so I'm here with Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Ministries, and he is the one who has organized and put on the Cruciform Conference that we've been able to come out and enjoy the wonderful teaching, and want to spend some time talking with him, have him talk to you guys about what Cruciform Ministries is, why this conference, and go a little bit into why this particular topic, and especially in our current age. So Brandon, introduce yourselves to our listeners and explain to them what Cruciform Ministries is and what the conference is about.
Yeah, my name is Brandon Scalf, like you said, and I run Cruciform Ministries. I'm also a local pastor here in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I started Cruciform Ministries to essentially flood the earth as best I can with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and letting people know of his kingship. I think we're doing that the best we can as of now. And we chose this year's theme, holiness, because we believe that the world needs to think more critically about holiness, but more specifically the church. So if we want to see change in the world, if we want to see gospel spread and fill the earth, then judgment begins with the household of God. And so as we survey the land in America, we certainly see an unholy church. And so I just wanted to, as best I could from the platform that we have at Cruciform Ministries, wanted to help people think more deeply about what it means to be a holy church. So that's why we did it.
And I got to admit, it's been a fantastic time here and learning so much. I've had opportunity to talk with some of the other speakers here, and I kind of put the same question to everybody for this particular interview, which was, you mentioned what's going on in the world and the church in the midst of this. We look at the election that's coming up. We look at the pandemic that wasn't, but still is, and and the riots and the push for government control and so many, and even starting now to see here in America what many cultures already have to deal with, which is governments coming against the church. So the question I've been asking is, as we look at all this, and a lot of people, I think they want to look at those issues and go, that's what we need to be dealing with. There's a culture war going on. There's an issue going on here that we need to address. And there's so many reasons to want to take on those issues. It's not to say that they're not important at all. Mm-hmm. But the issue of holiness, in the midst of all this, you guys have a conference on holiness, the idea of the church being holy unto God, that we serve a holy God, that, that people need to lead holy lives. To our listeners who look at that and go, why that town? Why that topic? Why not something else? Why not addressing these other issues? Why is holiness the topic you felt was something that really needed to be addressed in this particular time? Why is it that the Christians should be concerned with their holiness before the Lord?
Well, that's a good question. I think the reason for that is because if we understand the kingship of Christ and how we are to live in light of his holiness, and we learn how to take holiness seriously ourselves, I think all those other things begin to fall into place, right? If I can get you thinking critically about the issue of, homosexuality, for example, which we could do a conference on,
right.
Gender roles, or there's a myriad of things that we could do, abortion, right? And I can get you critically thinking as the church in one of these specific areas, that might be helpful, but then how do you think about another issue?
Right.
Well, then we have to have another conference for that issue.
Right.
And then there's just this snowball effect that will continue to happen. But if you can align yourself with the understanding that God is holy and he has called you to be holy as he is holy, it kind of allows for this ever-expanding understanding of how one ought to live his life underneath the rule of King Jesus. So I think that holiness, one, it causes us to be distinct in the world and be set apart and set unto God. And so we're covering all the bases with this one base. Not to say that we won't do other topics, but I think that if you're going to have a conversation about anything else, it's got to start with holiness, right? It's the only thing in the Bible. God is thrice holy. and he calls us to be holy as he is holy. So by virtue of the fact that the Bible seems to make such a big deal of it, it needs to be the starting place for us, I think. So
I absolutely agree with you on that. I mean, it's one of those situations, and I've shared this same conversation several times now. If we are called to be like Christ, then everything we do flows from that. And if we're not concerned with that, if we're not concerned with our stance before the holy God, then anything else that we want to do, we could just as easily be either pulled aside into a ditch that's of a secular nature to begin with, or we taint our own witness. Yes. We can't profess to be followers of Christ and not do what he says. He says, you know, he tells us that if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. You know, if you love me, why do you not do what I tell you? And that, I think, is one of the things in a time when the culture has been so insane and coming against the church so abundantly. I think it's important for us to say, where is our first and foremost concern to be? Is it to be out there on that front line battling, or is it first and foremost to be bowed before a holy God, submitting myself to him, and then going to war with his
glory? Yeah, it's not either or, right?
Exactly.
You have to do both. And that, you have to get in the prayer closet, and you've got to completely throw yourself before the Lord and be wrecked by his holiness and to be concerned about your holiness, and then you get out there into the world and you do work.
Exactly, and we do it for the right reason.
Right.
You know, we do it for his glory, not our own. Mm-hmm. We win the culture not for ourselves or for our particular voting bloc, but we win it for Christ.
Amen.
And I think that's what makes this particular conference has been so enjoyable and so informative and some of the most amazing preaching I've seen. I've been so grateful for we being able to come out and be a part of this. And I really thank you for you guys coming together and putting this on and taking time to equip the Christian church for this purpose. Because it's one of those topics I don't think it gets addressed enough. There's plenty of good preachers that do, but in evangelicalism at large, I don't think it's happening. And so when you guys take the time to do this, that's been a real blessing to myself, I know to my wife. And I know everybody here is probably feeling the same way. So
praise God.
Yeah. Any last thoughts before we let you go?
I don't think so. Okay. But I am glad that it's been a blessing to you, and we'll do it again next year. So
fantastic! Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so I'm here with Chris Huff with Matter of Theology. He was one of the speakers at the Cruciform Conference, and he just got done doing a talk on holiness and the Word of God. Honestly, that was just absolutely fantastic. If you guys get the chance, you really need to go and listen to that once Cruciform makes that audio recording available. So, Chris, number one, first, for those who don't know you, give us a quick rundown on who you are, where you're from.
Yeah, born and raised in just a little bit north of Atlanta, Georgia, and married. We've got one little guy. One half of the Matter of Theology podcast with my buddy Drew. Been a worship leader, worship pastor. We were talking about this last night. Actually, I've been leading worship now for 20 years, almost 20 years.
Wow.
And I haven't done it in a while. Been leading worship in a different way now, with pointing people to the Word of God and through podcasts and. And when I have the opportunity to preach, so I just started. I'm doing public relations for Daryl and Virgil on Just Thinking, which is a blessing and humbling and a beast all at the same time. as the Lord has definitely given them some influence because of the depth right. of what they do. That's I guess a little bit about me.
Fantastic. I really appreciate the message you just gave, and I'm really going to encourage a lot of people to go back and listen to this. I've been sharing a lot of the videos, links, and putting a lot of the stuff up as we've been at the conference. So one of the questions I want to ask everybody, because the whole concept of this conference is holiness.
Right.
And it may be for a lot of people that might just seem like an odd topic right now. Mm-hmm. The church is under assault from just about everything. You know, right. We've got the secular government, you know, in so many ways trying to shut down churches and trying to keep us quiet.
Yeah.
We've got fear of things like pandemics and COVID, which is a whole nother topic. Mm-hmm. We've got the issue of critical race theory and intersectionality trying to be injected into the church. We're watching right. Marxism and socialism across the country, people marching in the streets and even rioting to try and inject that.
Yeah.
So with all of that going on, I have to imagine that for the average Christian, why are you guys worried about holiness? So that's my question is, at a conference like this, why is it when we're looking at so much kind of chaotic stuff in the world, why is holiness that important? Why is it? Because it is important. Yes. I know you and I would agree on this totally.
Yeah.
But why, for our listeners, why would it be important to have a conference on holiness? Why should Christians be concerned about that right now?
I mean, first and foremost, because it's a command in the Word of God. Because the God that, for Christians, for those inside the church, the God that we serve is holy. He is holy, holy, holy. The only attribute of God that you hear the three times, that the thrice holy God, as R.C. Sproul used to say. So in order to know God, you have to know about his holiness. But then I think of the commands in 1 Peter to be holy as he is holy. And so in doing so, what that does is it, and I'm just going to preach on it, is it keeps you from aiming for that, aiming for holiness in your life because of the holiness of God, because of the holy and righteous life of Christ and his righteousness imputed to us. Our sin is propitiated to him. There's the word. Preaching brain, sorry. because of that, we've been clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and we are told in Scripture that we are being saved. We are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved, right? So that being saved aspect of it is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit through the Word to make us more to the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, and if our aim is that, because he is holy, we're never going to achieve that on this side of heaven. We won't even achieve holiness on the other side of heaven. God is holy. Then what that does is it number one, we experience the joy of God. Number two, it keeps us away from those very things we were talking mm-hmm. about, from those godless ideologies and speculations, and as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, from allowing those things to creep in and infect us, our families, and what we're seeing right now, the church.
Right.
So it's incredibly important because it's kind of like ad fontes, right? Back to the source. It's Reformation Month,
right.
and we're here in October. So if we stay at the source and that's the foundation, and our goal is that, aim small, miss small, right? We're aiming for holiness in all that we do. We're aiming for holiness because he is holy. The chances and the likelihood of us veering from that are greatly diminished.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the big things that we, I think, can easily miss as Christians. We are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what holiness is. We are being more conformed to Christ. If that is not our focus, as you said, if that's not what we're aiming for, then we can easily be distracted. We can easily be pulled away into all these other side debates.
Yeah.
It's not that these issues aren't important. They are.
Right.
But absent holiness, absent that pursuit of godliness, then we can be just as guilty of using worldly arguments.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that go on in the world today. We see Christians who will argue, take the abortion issue. You guys, we had a pre-conference on that just before.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the big things that failed for the Christian church and still continues to be used are secular arguments against abortion.
Well, you're not in the pro-life side.
Exactly. So we do that. We adopt unbiblical methodologies, mm-hmm. unbiblical arguments, because our aim is wrong.
Yeah.
We see that as a bad issue. So we may look at critical race theory or intersectionality or Marxism, and we could easily find ourselves treading into other worldly arguments,
absolutely.
Trying to defeat that because our aim is not to be Christ-like. So with the point of you guys having a conference on holiness at this time, to me, that is absolutely imperative. We have as a church, refocus our eyes on Christ.
Sure.
The gospel is about how we, as being outside of Christ, are at war with him.
Yeah.
Well, that's the world. We're watching it happen around us.
Yeah.
So why would we want anything else other than to be our eyes on Christ, as the gospel forces us to do? So I appreciate that. I appreciate what you did with the message on holiness in Scripture, because you're right. Without Scripture, how do we even know what holiness is?
No, we don't.
You have too many pastors today who want to unhitch the Scriptures altogether from that.
Yeah.
Ed Young. And
Andy Stanley.
And all these guys. But they want to they want to remove that and then give you 12 steps to better life or better marriage or whatever, which you don't have that because you don't have any way to connect that back to Christ.
Right.
And so you end up with those terribly worldly arguments. So I appreciate what you did with that message. It really did bring everything back to that. So as we wrap this up, any last thoughts about that you can impart to our listeners about that pursuit of holiness, what they should be doing right now?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, man. You know, everybody knows Romans 8:28, right? You know, for we know that all things work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But we sometimes forget 8:29, right? That says that we're to be conformed more and more into the image of Christ. And you mentioned that a second ago. And so my admonishment and encouragement would be this: while we had nothing to do with our salvation, we do play a part in our sanctification. We do play a part in what we do with the Word of God. And so my admonition would be to hold as tightly to God's Word as possible, and realizing that that God's Word is the only source of absolute truth in all matters pertaining to life and godliness, Peter said. So don't loosen your grip on the Word of God. Don't loosen your mind's eye off of the sufficiency of Scripture. Scripture is sufficient to address all of these things. And so to your point a second ago, you know, you have all these ideologies that are just running wild in the world, and they're being, it's not a Trojan horse. I mean, we see them coming in. It's just a horse just blaring through the gates. You know, so my admonishment would be stick to the Scriptures. Be bull dogmatic, as Steve Lawson would say.
Right.
Be bull dogmatic about your approach to the Scriptures, and be a Berean. Yeah. Compare everything against the truth in the backdrop of Scripture, and if it doesn't line up, have nothing to do with worldly ideology, speculations, those logismos, those empty worldly deceits that pull you away from Christ.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you very much, brother. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, brother.
Right. I appreciate you, man.
Okay, I am here with Andrew Rappaport of Striving for Eternity Ministries and the head, basically my boss of the Christian podcast community. And we're here at the Holiness Conference for Cruciform Conference in Indianapolis, Indiana. And just for, you know, transparency, it's Andrew's fault that I'm here because he actually put me on a plane with my wife and got me out here. So this is... I'm actually doing this just to ease his ego a little bit, and get it, so he can actually say he's been on our show because he's always bugging me to get on. But with all that aside, Andrew, thank you very much for bringing my wife and I out here. It actually has been a blessing. It's been a wonderful time to listen to all the wonderful preaching. Not that anybody actually needs to hear this because you tell everybody anyway, but tell everybody that has listened to our program, give us some info on you and Striving for Eternity in the community.
Sure. Well, first off, I'm not your boss. I just run the community. But yeah, you know, it is, I was glad to see you and your wife out. Man, the preaching?
It's fantastic.
Wow. All right. Literally, I will put some of the preaching we've heard up here up with Shepherd's Conference.
Yes, absolutely.
And so this has been an outstanding conference. As for who I am, I am the punching bag of the Voice of Reason Radio. Whenever they need someone to throw under the bus, I'm here for them.
And you do it really well. We appreciate it.
I mean, I think that's my job, right? I listen to every episode. I think Richard like even said that there were some things I was going to be doing that I'm like, oh, really? Okay. I do like to plan some things with you and Rich and try to create some...
Chaos?
I was going to say excitement. But, you know, we still might have a couple of tricks up our sleeves. But, you know, You returned some favors, or you got me a very nice Bible. Since you're sitting here and saying what I've done, you got me a very nice. You know, I now have a Spurgeon Bible. And for the record, I think I shared with you this story, but when I showed my wife the Bible that you had gotten me, the Spurgeon Study Bible, my wife looked at me and said, "I didn't know Spurgeon wrote a study Bible." And I had to explain to her, no, he didn't actually write it. It's just things he wrote that weren't actually for a study Bible. But she's just thinking the MacArthur study Bible, the Ryrie study Bible. It must be the Spurgeon one.
And
she didn't know. She thought she was missing out on something. But yeah, I mean, I do a lot of podcasting, a lot of teaching, do a lot of traveling, and, you know, was speaking here on the wonderful topic of abortion, something you just love to discuss. And then the other talk I did, because I didn't know, and I didn't say this in the message, I don't think, but, you know, Brandon didn't give me the, he said, I'll send you a list of all the speakers, what they're going to speak on, so that you can pick something that hasn't been done. And I never got that. So it's like, well, how do you, whenever you have a conference with a topic and everyone's going to pick like the key verses. I mean, I think we've heard some key verses over and over. Now everyone kind of went to Peter where he says, you know, be holy for I am holy. So we know that, but what everyone kind of, you're hearing some similarities. So how do I do something that no one else is going to do? Ah, I know. I will deal with the book that talks about holiness more than any other in the Bible, Leviticus.
And he went through the entire book, folks, just so you know.
Yeah, I did. And I said, I'm going to go through the entire book and everyone's going to enjoy it. And I actually had a couple people coming up and going, I'm actually going to study Leviticus when I get home. This is really good. And because it is something that people just think of the law.
Yeah.
And there's the gospel can be presented in Leviticus far better, I think, than almost any Old Testament book.
And I think you did a fantastic job with that, especially when, I'll try to make sure that folks see the graphic, because I actually got a picture of it, where you showed how the book of Leviticus is broken down with the priestly laws and the various laws, and then right in the middle is atonement.
Yeah.
So, and of course, bookend on either side. So I think that was a fantastic way of actually, because that was the first time I think I've read through Leviticus more than once. And like a lot of people, I look at it and go, ow, because it's just, it really, it's a lot of trying to keep track of all these different sacrifices, all these different priestly roles, and you may miss that. And so when you showed that, I think that really honed it in for a lot of people. So I think that was actually a fantastic. And your talk on abortion, I think, was also very well done. And I think did a great job of pointing out how not only how horrible this is, but how Christians can engage and should. So I think he did a great job on both of those. And I really encourage the listeners to go and check that out. As soon as the audios become available, I'm going to make sure that everybody finds them. So what I've been asking everybody, and I just talked to Chris Huff earlier, was that with everything in the culture that's going on, we're here at a conference on holiness. You know, we've got this massive cultural insanity that's going on. We have an election in just 11 days that's may actually be for the first time, we may actually be able to say this is one of the most important elections we've ever had. And some of the most undesirable people are up for election. We've got riots in the streets. We've got pandemics that aren't really that dangerous, but everybody thinks it is. So a lot of people's focus is probably torn 1,000 different directions with 1,000 different answers. But we're having a conference on holiness in the life of a believer. So my question to everybody is, okay, why is that important? I mean, I think a lot of people could go, we've got all this going on. Why do I need to worry about that? Why is this important for the Christian right now?
Well, first, let me say this. Chris Huff's message?
Straight fire.
Wow. All right. So that is one that I'm going back and re-listening to.
Oh, yeah.
Because, well, okay. First off, I couldn't, I realized very quickly giving up on trying to take notes. Okay, that wasn't going to happen. That's going to happen on the second, third, fourth, and fifth, because it was like, okay, there were tons of Watson quotes right there, but between the quotes and the number of scriptures, it was, yeah, I was like, all right, this is when I'm just going to sit and listen. I'll take notes the second time through, and probably the third or fourth, because it'll take a lot. But, this actually, being here, I don't know about you, but with all the nonsense, talking about God's holiness, the holiness he expects from us, the way we should have holy living, it really puts everything in perspective that makes all this nonsense look almost silly.
Yeah.
It really does. It puts it in perspective to say, as Christians, like, there's far too many Christians thinking like Trump is going to be the savior. Get over it, okay? Right. Trump needs a savior. And if that surprises anybody, okay, Paula White's his spiritual guidance, so he's already...
Yeah.
Yeah. So for the people who think Trump is not saved, you're wrong. Just simple. But this has been great just to sit here and focus upon God.
Yeah.
I think I said in the message that when I evangelize, I'm going to do one of two things in evangelism. I'm either going to use the law of God to help someone see that they're a sinner, And if the law of God is not having the proper effect, there's only one thing that you can use to give people an idea that they're a sinner: God's holiness.
Yeah.
Just talk about how holy and great God is. And if they don't recognize how little and sinful they are after that, either you didn't do it well enough, or they're just such a regenerate.
Yeah.
You know, a degenerate, sorry. A degenerate. They're not going to get saved apart from a miracle of God. And so they just hate him too much.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, is that we don't recognize how much we as Christians, we really need that. When Chris and I were talking earlier, we talked about the fact that, you know, everybody's looking to worldly answers to deal with the solutions. And if you are, as a Christian, if your focus is not on the holiness and being made conformed to Christ, that's the problem you're going to find yourself doing too. You're going to end up in that same ditch. So as you said, for the Christian, it's being conformed to the image of Christ, but it's also that same message that we need to share to the world. Mm-hmm. That, you know, without that holiness, without being holy, you know, it says to be holy as I am holy, you can't get there. You can't get before God and before his throne, and you can't spend eternity with Christ apart from holiness, which we can't manifest on our own.
Yeah.
So without understanding how holy God is, how holy his law is, and how much is required of us, we can't understand why we need Christ. And how are we going to then communicate that to the people in the world? You know, we talk about evangelism. We talk about sharing the gospel. Is it any wonder that most evangelicals can't grasp the need for evangelism? They don't understand the holiness of God. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, and let me say Brett's message from this week. Mm. I mean, I did walk up to him and say, you know, that you just did plagiarism. I mean, 90% of your, or 70% of your message was just scripture, but you know, but the way he laid it out, right? But what he did, what Brandon did, what was consistent, not just with them, but you're hearing it throughout, is the sufficiency of scripture.
Amen.
That is the thing that is so lacking in the church today. That's the reason you have these guys going woke.
Yeah.
They're not woke. I got news for you. They're asleep.
Yeah.
They've been put to sleep. They'll wake up when they see the sufficiency of scripture. That's when they're woke.
Yes.
Okay? Because they're still asleep in the world. They've decided, no, God's word's not enough. We really can't do this. We need to look at what the world has. Look, you know, critical race theory has something to teach us. What? What does critical race theory have to teach you that the Bible doesn't already answer?
Amen.
What, that people are sinful? Duh. People are going to be racist? Yeah, duh. In fact, the Bible's going to teach you there are no races. There's one human race.
Right.
The only thing we have is unsaved and saved.
Right.
And that's the only issue. So, you know, the problem that we see with the culture is that the church lacks a belief in the sufficiency of Scripture.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. And that's, I think, been the biggest problem we've seen with all the adoption of these godless ideologies, is just an unwillingness to believe that scripture can and it does address all these issues. You said for yourself, and we've talked about it on our show, that the issue of scripture makes it clear there's not actually a race, which is actually kind of funny, because when you read Delgado's book on white fragility, she admits that. She says race is a social construct, and then goes on to talk about systemic racism and white fragility. Another topic for another time. But you know, the scriptures make it clear that the issue isn't a matter of racism. It's an issue of hatred. It's an issue of unjust anger. It's an issue of sin. So you can't address all these other issues and try to hit them with surface level answers without addressing the actual topic, which is the lack of holiness in a person's heart because they hate their brother. They hate their sister. They hate the person that is made in the image and likeness of God. They're going to do that no matter what the reason is. It may be race today. It may be gender tomorrow. It may be because you have more money than me, or maybe you just, I don't like you. But that's a sin issue, and you can't address that with worldly ideologies. You have to address it through the scriptures, which address the fact that God is holy and we are not. Yeah. So I appreciate that's what's being taught at this, and it's actually, as I think as you were trying to say, it's a refreshing message right now. It is so desperately needed in the church. And so I'm so thrilled that you and everybody else have been come together for this weekend and actually just pound that message into the church. We desperately need it. So I want to say thank you for the stuff that you guys have said. And again, thank you for bringing us out so we could be part of this. Any last thoughts on this before we let everybody go?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I was, you know, kind of wondering how this conference was going to come off with COVID and, you know, whether people were going to come out or be scared. I think the reality is Christians are like, enough is enough. Yeah. They were fed up with this. Let's get fellowship going and things like that. But with what you're saying, it's the irony of the world with their social constructs, right?
Yeah.
Let's take the example of gender, right? We're supposed to be transgender. Us people that think there's only male and female, we're supposed to be thinking that there's multiple genders and it's fluid. But why should we do that when they don't even believe it? And there's proof that they don't believe it. What does every transgender do? When they go and say, well, I'm a man, but I identify as a woman, what do? They dress like a woman. They go get surgery to look like a woman. They do a higher pitched voice so they sound like a woman. Why do they do those things? Because they know there's only two genders, exactly. Right? So they prove the very point that we're saying. Why do we say it? Because the Bible says it.
Yeah.
God created male and female. There is no distinction there of like, well, there's something in between. Or you could kind of go like, if gender was really a fluid thing, you know what they would do? They would stay the way they are and just say, well, I'm a female, though I have a male body.
Right.
They don't do that. They actually live out the stereotype of the other gender, proving the very thing that, you know, we are saying there's only two genders.
Yeah.
So that's the irony with it. But I do appreciate you having me on. And now, I hope this, you know, this is just an interview, a short one. But I just hope, because I think the last time that you and Rich did a podcast with me, I think it ended your last podcast. I think I was your last episode when you were interviewing me for my book way back when. And that was the last episode of an old podcast that you guys did together. So we might be safe because Chris, it's only Chris and it's not, you know, Richard's not here. So
no, this is just an interview that I can edit later. Putting you on live is always a little bit dangerous. So, all right. Andrew, I really appreciate the time that you've given us. And yeah, we will get you on the show. I just got to find a way to make sure. Get that mute button working so I can cut you off. Because letting you on a mic is kind of like letting Trump on a mic. It just goes, goes all awry.
Wow. I think I just got compared to a president, but it wasn't in a good way.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. Let you go. Take care. Okay, so I'm here with Michelle Leslie at the Holiness Conference that Cruciform Conference is putting on out here in Indianapolis, Indiana, and just going to ask you to give us a little bit of information about yourself. I know you were on the program with us previously, but sometimes we do get some new folks. I just want to have you give a little bit of info, and then we'll talk about the conference and some thoughts on that. So,
sounds great. Well, my name is Michelle Leslie, and I'm a women's discipleship blogger. I've been doing that for about 12 years. And I'm also the co-host of the A Word Fitly Spoken podcast with Amy Spreeman. So, and in addition to that, I get to speak at conferences like Cruciform sometimes and at women's conferences all over the country. And so that all keeps me pretty busy. So I enjoy that a lot.
Well, very cool. I appreciate you giving us some of your time. So I've asked for the last couple of interviews I've done, I talked to Andrew and I talked to Chris Huff, and the question I've been asking everybody is basically this, that with everything, we're kind of watching the world kind of unraveled around us. I mean, we got an election coming up that's probably one of the most contentious ever, maybe even one of the more important ones. At the same time, we've got rioting in the streets, we got pandemics that are or are not pandemics, depending on who you talk to. We're watching society in a lot of ways kind of tear itself apart. And in the midst of all this, we're also watching some, at least in Western culture, some almost unprecedented attacks on the church. It's, for those that are outside Western culture, this is nothing new, obviously. But for us, we're starting to see that. And so in the midst of all this, we're sitting here in a conference that is specifically talking about the holiness of God, the holiness of His Word, and holiness in the life of a believer. And the question I've been asking you is, and for you, this would be specific to the ladies listening to the program, why is it holiness is so really important right now? I mean, we're watching a cultural battle. We're watching attacks against the church. It would seem that there's so many different things that we could be focusing our attention on, yet this conference has us focusing on the holiness of our in our lives, holiness in God. Why is that important? Why is that important that we're speaking to that? Why do we want Christians to be concentrating on that in light of everything that's going on? Is it that seems like this seems to be the least amount of important thing, but really, it really is one of the most important things we can be concentrating on in the life of a believer.
Well, it really is. And I think you're right. On the surface, it would seem like, well, you know, why bother? I mean, the world is just going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah. But I think it's so important for a number of reasons. The first reason that's important is because God says so. And that is the reason, that is the bottom line reason that we do anything that we do as Christians, because God said so. But also, I think it's really important for a number of other reasons. It's important because, for a number of reasons, it helps us to kind of stick out like a sore thumb in society. I was talking to somebody about that yesterday, and just being countercultural, being sort of a weirdo for Jesus, people take notice of that, and they notice, you know, that you're acting differently and talking differently, and they want to know why, and that gives you an opportunity to share the gospel. Another reason is that when individuals are personally pursuing holiness, it helps to maintain the holiness of the church. And we need holy churches.
Yes.
Because finding a doctrinally sound church, a holy church, is getting harder and harder and harder these days. And so we need churches that are strong and solid in holiness, not only for us who are already saved, but for these people that are going to see us being weirdos for Jesus and getting right. them, you know, plugged into church too, and helping them to start growing in holiness as well. And so I think those are some of the most important reasons why we need to pursue holiness personally and as the church.
Absolutely agree with that. And I think you bring out one of the more important points is that it's really easy to get caught up in the cultural battles. We tend to think of things in terms of, well, they're doing this, so we need to respond this way. But how are we called to deal with these issues in Christ? How are we called to act? How are we called to live and to think? And when you realize, as you said, Christianity is countercultural. It isn't dependent on how is the world reacting to our message. It is, what has God said? How am I to live? What am I to say? Because God is sovereign. God is the one in control. And that does make a very distinct message. And when we live according to that, we not only, as you say, we're showing an entirely different person to the world, but we're actually living in accord with what we believe as well. If we as Christians believe that God is in control of all these things, if he is the one who dictates what we should do, how we should live, and we then turn around and do that, that strengthens our message, and it tells an entirely different story to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that's absolutely important, because I can't think of a more important message in the midst of a crisis era where everything is victim, everything is insanity, everything is chaos, and everybody has their own spin on how to bring about a solution. For the Christian church to say, we're going to stand in the middle of this storm, and we're going to live as we have always lived, mm-hmm. dedicating our lives to Christ, regardless of what the world outside says. I think that is a powerful message. It not only draws us closer and makes us more conformed to Christ, which is what we should always desire, but the message that we tell to the world is, do what you want to do. We stand for mm-hmm. Christ. So I really appreciate that message. I really appreciate that they've put this together in a time such as this, that we get to concentrate on those things. So you're here doing a couple of breakout sessions for the ladies. Why don't you tell our listeners about what you're talking about this weekend for them, so that especially for the ladies who do listen, because I know a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of guys that teach us, a lot of guys who are leading in this. And sometimes I know women are as much as they benefit from hearing those things, I know that it helps when there is someone from, you know, like yourself, who can speak to that issue as well and help them understand, okay, where do we find our place in this? How does this work? So I think that gives a great perspective for the ladies, and it gives them an opportunity to to be reassured that what they're hearing is solid, what they're hearing is sound. What did you speak to? What is your message to them in this particular conference?
Well, I taught two breakout sessions that were just for women. I want to make that clear to everybody.
I wasn't allowed in.
That's right. Last year, it's kind of funny. I think the word has gotten out because none of the men tried to come to my sessions this time like they did last year when I very politely and gently and kindly had to ask some to leave so that I could teach. But anyway, so I've taught two breakout sessions just for women this year. The first one I titled Holy Mothers and Others of God, the Holy Women of Scripture. And we just went through and took a look at several different women in Scripture and their example of holiness to us. I think that gets overlooked sometimes. Sometimes we read Bible stories and it just doesn't sink in because we've heard it so many times and maybe we haven't looked at a particular aspect of that story. And so that's what I tried to bring out was these ladies' examples of holiness to us as women, because we always need good examples to follow so that we can then turn around and be good examples of holiness to the women in our church, our children, even our husbands, our friends and people like that in our lives. So that was the first session that I taught. The second session that I taught was called Practical Holiness, because a lot of times when we hear good teaching on a good theological topic, it's very conceptual. It's not really rubber meets the road. As much as we want to, as much as pastors are very good about providing application, they can't tell you what you need to be doing at your house, in your situation, in your town at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning to be holy. And I get that question from women a lot, especially I've used the example of submission. When I talk about submission, women come to me and say, how do I submit to my husband?
Right.
Well, I can't tell you that. I don't know you. I don't know your husband. I don't know your situation. I don't know what's going to be happening throughout your day. So it's the same way with holiness. I can't just give you a list of things to do and say, here, this is how you be holy.
Right.
So what we talked about in that session is things that we can do to prepare our hearts. Because let me back up a little bit and say, we cannot grow ourselves in holiness. God grows us in holiness. The Holy Spirit gives the growth. And so but there are things that we can do to sort of help prepare our hearts for the work that God is going to do in our hearts to grow us in holiness. And so we've talked about the first thing we talked about was the importance of the gospel and understanding what the gospel is, because you can't be holy if you don't know God. That's
right.
You have to be born again to grow in holiness. And so we talked about a lot about what the gospel is and what the gospel isn't. And I know it's a Christian conference, but like I tell the ladies, the more women I meet, the more false converts I meet, because many churches are not teaching the gospel, or they're teaching it wrong. And so I never go anywhere without sharing the gospel, Christian conference or, what have you. So we talked a lot about the gospel and how that is integral to holiness, and talked about Bible study, talked about being a good connected member of your church, talked about prayer and things like that. And these are all things that can lay the groundwork for readying your heart for the work that God wants to do in your heart. And in addition to preparing your heart, these are acts of holiness that God wants us to do. So those are the two sessions I taught. And then this hasn't taken place yet as we're speaking, but tonight Amy Spreeman and I are going to record an episode of our podcast, A Word Fitly Spoken. And we're just going to do a Q&A kind of thing and talk to the ladies. So looking forward to that.
Awesome. And that's fantastic. I love the time and energy you're putting into that. And absolutely agree with you. I don't think that it's ever an inappropriate time to share the gospel. If you're a Christian, you should love hearing the gospel. If you're not a Christian, you need to hear the gospel.
Right.
So at a Christian conference in our churches, we should always assume there's going to be somebody there who is not saved, who may have been raised in the church, but and they may know all the lingo, but have they ever repented and put their faith in Christ? So taking that time is so essential, and I'm glad you're doing that. I'm glad that we've gotten to spend some time with you. I've been able to play chauffeur for you for the last couple of days, which has been just so wonderful. I love these kind of opportunities where we get together with folks who do this type of stuff, either podcasting or speaking. We only almost ever get to talk online. So getting to see face-to-face and getting to spend some time with you has been fantastic. I so love the heart that you have for Christ and the ladies that you get to minister to. So thank you for the time and energy, especially in a day and age when, and I know you've talked about this on the podcast, your guys' podcast, plenty of times, in a day and age when women's Bible studies are just such gook and glop, you and Amy do such a fantastic job of making the gospel and the truth of God's word front and center. And so thank you for that. Really appreciate the time you've given me here tonight, today, and really look forward to seeing what you guys continue to do and the blessings in the ministry that you guys are doing. So thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Well, I certainly hope you enjoyed listening to those four interviews. It was a blast for me to get to speak to all of them. Brandon was just a gracious host and a fantastic preacher in the midst of this particular conference. And I think he understands how much we need the opportunity to not only draw closer to Christ, but how much we need to reflect that in the culture. And I think that can be said for all of the guests, Chris, Andrew, Michelle, all of them did such a great job of talking about why holiness was important, why we need to reflect that in our lives, why when we look at the culture and everything that's going on, why holiness is, for the Christian, is actually the first thing we should be concerned about. God commands us to. You know, he's our example, our savior. Why else would we want to do anything else? And how else can you possibly address those things of the world without first, you know, drawing close to him, drawing on his strength, being made like him? How can you possibly do that if you are addressing those issues if you aren't first dealing with that in your own life? So I hope that was a blessing to you. I really hope and pray that you guys got a lot out of this and those interviews. So I thank you for the time that you've given us. I thank you that you come back and spend time with us each week. My hope in the near future is we're actually going to get more opportunity to talk to folks like this and be part of these type of things. Certainly, I know I've talked with Chris and Drew from Matter of Theology. I know we want to try and get together some point and share in do a shared podcast episode. We're looking forward to that. I really hope that's coming to happen in the near future. Talked to Justin Peters while we were there. Talked about maybe getting him on the program. So we're looking at some more opportunities to bring you more things on this show, and we hope that it's been a blessing to you. We're always so grateful for the opportunities that you give us to be a part of your day, part of your week, and thank you for spending time. And you know what? Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for sharing the program, and just thank you for the effort that you put in each and every week to serve your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because Christians, we need to be doing that. We need to be sold out to Christ. We need to submit to him. We need to conform ourselves to his image. What else have we got? You know, what in this world can we possibly look to that is even remotely as amazing as our Savior? I was reading in scripture today. Paul in Philippians is talking about that he looks to Christ and his attitude is, I just want to be, receive him, the power of resurrection in him. Everything in the world means nothing. It's worthless. It's dung. It's garbage, as opposed to Christ and being resurrected eternally with him. So what else have we got that could be possibly even close to what he has to offer? So thank you. I really appreciate what you're doing, that you commit time to your studies, to your practice, to the conforming of your mind to Jesus Christ. Thank you. God bless you. We will see you next time. God bless. Good night.